You in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And, welcome back to those who have traveled, and a very special welcome back to Matthias, right? Good to see you back after 2 years. It's wonderful to see you back in the house of the Lord. May the Lord continue to bless and to strengthen you in the most holy faith. And our sister Renee also, you traveled, but we didn't see you back for some time. So good to see you back in the house of the Lord. Now this morning, what shall we talk about? We want to talk about the blessings exclusively in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, only those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ may be able to receive these blessings. Not those outside, but those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Australia is one of the favorite destinations for refugees. People like to settle here because this country has got political freedom, it has got spiritual, religious freedom, so that people may be able to practice their religion. And this is a country of plenty. If people are willing to work, they will not go hungry. There is a good education system here, and there is good healthcare system here. And then, of course, people coming here can have what is known as their Australian dream. But the refugees, if they want to enjoy all these privileges and all these benefits, have to be in Australia, or they have to be residents of Australia before they are able to enjoy all these benefits and privileges. Now, our God, the one true living God, has in store for us blessings from heaven, which He had planned for us to receive from eternity past. But friends, just like refugees have to be in Australia or have to be residents of Australia to receive the benefits that are available in Australia, we must be in Christ. We must be in Christ to receive these benefits which the Lord has in store for us. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, in Christ to receive these benefits. I'd like us to look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. It says here, "Blessed be the Father, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." My dear friends, we must be in Christ to receive these spiritual blessings. Now, these blessings, as we say, come from heaven. And who are the recipients of these spiritual blessings? Now, the recipients of these spiritual blessings are those who are in Christ, not those outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's understand what is meant by being in Christ. Now, to be in Christ means to be living in Christ. It means to be dwelling in Christ, living in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, in John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, says this, "Abide in me," in other words, "live in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." You must live in me. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me," or "he that dwells in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." We must be in Christ to receive this great spiritual blessings which the Lord has in store for us, which come down from heaven. Now, how can we be in Christ? Now, we can be in Christ by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, by believing on Him. Yes, believe that He died for us on the cross of Calvary. Believe that He shed His precious blood for us. Believe that He was buried for us. Believe that He rose up from the dead for us. My dear friends, if He abides in us and we abide in Him, these spiritual blessings that the Lord talks about here in His Word will be ours. They will be available to us. They will be our possession. Now, I'd like us to consider the blessings of this wonderful truth of being in Christ. Being in Christ. Now, I'd like us to first of all see this wonderful grace of God being in Christ. Not just our being in Christ, but God being in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. There was a time, some 2,000 years ago, when the Lord Jesus Christ took on human flesh, and he became man. He was born of the Virgin Mary, and he became man. Yes, God was in man. God was in Christ. Now, if God was not in Christ, and if he were to appear to us in his full glory, my dear friends, we perish. Yes, we perish if we were to appear before him. We will be consumed by his absolute holiness. For who can stand before this great God who dwells in unapproachable light? So the word of God says, he dwells in unapproachable light. Now you remember the case of the children of Israel. When they came to Mount Sinai, they were at the foot of Mount Sinai, and Moses was called by the one true living God to go up to Mount Sinai, where God would be speaking to him. And we have this recorded for us in Exodus 19. If you would turn to me to Exodus chapter 19, but keep your finger at Ephesians 1. Exodus 19. Exodus 19, and look at verses 13 to 16. Exodus 19, 13 to 16. I read for you. There shall not an hand touch it, touch Mount Sinai. But he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. They trembled when they saw the lightning and they heard the thunder, the sound of the thunder that descended upon Mount Sinai. And look at verses 20 and 21. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Tell them not to break through. Tell them not to try to steal, to look at the glory of God, because if they try to do that, they will perish. And then a short time later, Moses wanted to see the one true living God. He wanted to see the glory of God. He wanted to see the one true living God. And you know what God said to him in Exodus 33:20? He said this to Moses, Exodus 33:20. And he said unto Moses, thou canst not see my face. Moses, you want to see my face, but you can't see my face. For there shall no man see me and live. There's no way that we can approach this unapproachable light. No way, friends, we cannot approach this unapproachable light and live. But God is very gracious. My dear friends, he's very gracious. He took on human flesh and became man so that we can approach him. Don't you see that, my dear friends? He is so kind and so very gracious. He dwelt among men as Emmanuel, which means God with us. And he was in God, reconciling the world unto himself. And so we read this truth in 2 Corinthians 5:19. To wit, which means that is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God was in Christ. God was in Christ, making it possible for himself to stand before man so that we can stand before him. If he was not in Christ, my dear friends, it is simply impossible for us to stand before him. We will be struck dead. Now, we believers are in Christ. First, God is in Christ, and then we believers are in Christ. Yes, only believers are in Christ. Only we who are in Christ can stand before this thrice holy God. Now, we can stand before this thrice holy God because we are clothed with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. the Lord Jesus imputes or credits his righteousness to us, so that we may be able to stand righteous before the one true living God. When God looks at us, he no longer looks at our wretched condition, but he looks at the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he declares us righteous. And so the word of God says this to us in 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, "For he has made him to be sin for us. He has made him to be our sin offering, so that we may be made the righteousness of God in him." So Christ was made the sin offering for us. He imputed his righteousness to us, so that we stand righteous in the sight of the one true living God. Now this righteousness that we are talking about, that we have put on, is not a fake righteousness. It is not a substandard righteousness. And for sure, it is not the righteousness of man, because the righteousness of man is as filthy rags in the sight of God. There are those who claim to be righteous. I think in the course of our personal evangelism, we must have on many occasions come across such people who would think of themselves as being righteous. Now, they don't tell you in so many words that they are righteous, but by what they say, they are implying that they are righteous in the sight of God. For example, they will say, "Oh, I've never really stolen something big. I've never cheated in a big way. I've never told big lies. I've only told white lies. And I have always tried to maintain a upright life. I've been a very responsible husband, responsible father. Yes, I do not commit adultery, and I would do unto others as I would others do unto me. So at the end of the day, I'm all right." Yes, that's what they usually say. All right, don't believe. Next time you share the gospel with people, it's very often they will tell you, "At the end of the day, I'm all right." They will tell you that. What they are trying to tell you is that at the end of the day, I will stand righteous before God. But friends, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of the one true living God. No matter how good you think you are not righteous in the sight of the one true living God. But in Christ, clothed with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, we stand righteous in the sight of God. Clothed with his righteousness, we can then come before God's wonderful throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God's throne is a throne of grace to those who are in Christ. Now, when you look at Christ, what do you see, friends? What do you see? Do you see God in Christ? A big lump of stone, or a lump of something, was found at the bed of a shallow brook in North Carolina. People walk past this big lump of something, but they always regarded it as a big lump of something, that's all. One day there was this poor man who decided that he must pick out this big lump of something. He said, "This could be useful to me. I could make use of it as a door stopper to keep my door ajar." So he brought it home, kept it in the home, and put it against his door to keep his door ajar. Then one day, a geologist came by. He looked at that lump of something. To him, it was not a lump of something. It was gold. Yes, it was gold in that lump of something. Not just a lump of something, but a gold in that lump of something. When you look at Christ, my dear friends, what do you see? Some see him as a good man. Some see him as a great moral teacher. Others perhaps see him as a prophet. But friends, what do you see him as? Now, the most important thing is, friends, do you see him as God manifest in the flesh? God coming in the flesh. He took on human flesh. My dear friends, do you see God in him reconciling the world unto himself? Do you see God in Christ, just as that geologist saw gold in that big lump of something? Do you see him dying on the cross of Calvary for you, my dear friends? Do you see him shedding his precious blood for you? Friends, having recognized who he is, let us assume that you see him as those things that I've just spoken about. But having recognized who he is, have you received him as your Lord and Savior? Remember, he must abide in you, so that you will be abiding in him, so that you will be in Christ, so that these spiritual blessings that he has in store for us, which we want to talk about, will be yours, these spiritual blessings that come down from heaven. Now I'd like us to look at the truth of this statement from this passage, that if we are in Christ, these spiritual blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ will be ours. So I want to talk about these spiritual blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at the passage. Now verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. You notice the words there? In Christ Jesus. Now verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In what? In Christ. Did you see those two words? And then verse 4. According as he has chosen us, what? In Christ. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, what? In the beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beloved means in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 7, in whom? You see, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Then verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. 10, then in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things, what? In Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And then verse 11, in whom? In Christ also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. And verse 13, in whom? In Christ. He also trusted, after that he heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom? In Christ. Also, after that he believed, he was sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. So you see, my dear friends, how vitally important it is that we be in Christ. In this 14 verses, you know the words, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, mentioned numerous times, so many times. My dear friends, what does that tell us? We must be in Christ if we want to receive these spiritual blessings that God has in store for us. Yes, no other way of looking at it, but simply this, we must be in Christ to receive these spiritual blessings. Now, what are these spiritual blessings in Christ? That's what we want to talk about. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The spiritual blessings have only one source, and this source is heaven. The source is God. These spiritual blessings come from God, and each of these blessings is a good and perfect gift from the one true living God. And all these spiritual blessings are packaged in Christ. You know, there are so many spiritual blessings God has in store for us. We went through the list, lots and lots of spiritual blessings. And all these spiritual blessings are packaged in Christ. If we are in Christ, we have them. You see? Now, you will find that in Christ, or we will find that in Christ, we have been predestinated to be saved. That's the first blessing. In Christ, we have been predestinated to be saved. And we have also been predestinated to be his adopted children. You look at verse 4. According as he has chosen us in Christ, predestinated us in Christ, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. In Christ, we have also been predestinated to be adopted by the one true living God. And then look at verse 6. to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And that's the next blessing, accepted in the beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot be accepted by the one true living God. In him, you are accepted. Next. We have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Redemption from sins and forgiveness of sins. In Christ, look at verse 7. In whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And then verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. My dear friends, we have divine revelation. We have been given spiritual discernment. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. We have the Lord Jesus Christ in us. We are in him. The Lord Jesus Christ is in us in the person of God's mighty Holy Spirit. And he gives us a spiritual discernment so that we may be able to receive this revelation that is contained in the Word of God. God shows us his truth. He makes known to us the mystery of his will. And then we have the privilege of one day having union with him. Now, verse 10 tells us that. That's another blessing. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. He gathers all things in Christ, you see. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, one day. All of us will be gathered together with the saints in heaven, together with the angels in heaven. We will all be gathered in one. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we will have this wonderful, happy union with him. And then we have an inheritance. That's the next blessing. Look at verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And also in Christ we have been sealed by God's mighty Holy Spirit. All right, we read this in verse 13. All right, in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard of the truth, word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Yes, we believe, we're sealed, marked out, branded by the Holy Spirit, if you will, as belonging to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I don't suppose we can cover all the blessings this morning, but we'll talk about some of these spiritual blessings that the Lord has in store for us. Now, the first blessing that I'd like us to consider is the blessing of our being predestinated to be saved. I seem to be repeating, but it's so important that we understand that the number one blessing is that we have been predestinated to be saved. Look at verse 4. According as he has chosen in us, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He chose us. You know how privileged it is to be chosen by the one true living God. This blessing is yours if we are in Christ, chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what a great privilege it is to be chosen. I still remember years ago when I was a little kid, just starting out to play representative of football for my school. It was not the first team, mind you, the second team, all right? Chosen to play for the second team. Somehow the school that I attended made it a big thing for the selection process, all right? The players would be named on the day of the game, and then some schoolmates of ours, the most senior boys in the school, would carry a big pack of jerseys, and then they will come to your class, and then you'll be called up, and then you'll be handed the jersey. You know, when you receive the jersey, you know that you are chosen to play for the day. You know how glad, how good you feel that you have been chosen. But friends, I'm talking here only about choosing to play representative sports for the school in the second team. Not even the first team, and I already felt so good. But friends, surely it is an infinitely, infinitely greater thing to be chosen by God to be his very own. We have been chosen by him to be heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been chosen to rule with him. One day when the Lord Jesus Christ rules on this earth, we will be ruling with him. Think of it, my dear friends, chosen to be heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Is not this a great privilege? My dear friends, this is a privilege so great that it's really beyond our imagination as far as His greatness is concerned. And so Peter says in 1 Peter 1:4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's the inheritance that we will be receiving. It is an incorruptible inheritance. How can it be a corruptible inheritance if it is eternal life? Eternal life means eternal life. It cannot be shortened, right? And undefiled, unspoiled, uncontaminated, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And then Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In the ages to come, he will show us the exceeding riches of his grace. Right now, we can't perceive what the riches of his grace are like. But one day, my dear friends, we'll get to know what these riches are. But all these are in store for us if we are in Christ. These blessings in Christ are for us who are in Christ. Now, as I said, this inheritance that we are going to receive is so great, so marvelous, that it's really beyond our imagination to think of what it is going to be like. Remember, this God of ours is the creator of the whole wide universe. He created all the stars in the universe. You know how many stars there are in the sky? I mentioned this at the prayer meeting. I can't remember the exact number, or rather the estimated number. But what I do know is that it is not just 10,000 stars. It is not just 1,000,000 stars. It's not just 1 million stars. It's not just 1 billion stars. But we are talking about billions of stars, billions and billions of stars. And all these stars will be like our sun, or bigger than our sun. Many of them will be far, far greater than our sun. Our sun is a star. But friends, the Lord has created all the whole wide universe and all the stars in the universe, and he knows exactly how many stars there are in the sky. And the word of God tells us that the Lord knows every one of them by name. That's how great our God is, how great a creator he is. Now, if he's so great in creating, will he not be able to give us an inheritance that exceeds far, far what we ever dreamed this inheritance is going to be like? Friends, he's going to give us something way, way beyond our imagination. And the primary inheritance is, of course, the glorified body that we are going to receive someday. Someday we are going to receive this glorified body like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. A body that does not know sickness, a body that does not age, a body that doesn't become sick, a body that doesn't die, a body that will live on forever and ever. It will be a body like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be able to pass through walls. My dear friends, that's the kind of glorified body that we are going to have. And that is the wonderful inheritance that we are going to receive. And then the Lord also tells us about the heavenly mansions that he has gone to prepare for us. Yes, these mansions are great, wonderful mansions. There is no description of what these mansions are, but we know that these mansions will be part of the exceeding riches of his grace that are going to be given to us. Do we know that? My dear friends, he's gone to prepare those wonderful things for us. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, this great spiritual blessing that the Lord has in store for us, my dear friends, includes our being adopted by God as his children. We have been adopted by him. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. In other words, he has always been the Son of God. He is eternally begotten. He has always been the Son of God. There never was a time when he was not the Son of God. But we are different. We were adopted in time. There was a time in history when we were adopted to become children of God. But the Lord is the only begotten Son of God. But there was a time in our life when we were adopted. My dear friends, if we are in Christ, we have been adopted by the Lord. Yes, we would have received this wonderful blessing of adoption. Now, I have some understanding of the privilege of being an adopted son. I think I could have told you this before. When I was a little kid, I was adopted by this bachelor who was our family friend. My father had a huge family. There were just too many children for him to take care of. There were 12 of us, you know. And he had to work very, very hard to earn a living to provide for his big family. My father had no time for us, and particularly for the younger ones like myself. I was one of the youngest in the home. So there was no way that he could spend time with me and spend time for me. But thank God for this man who became my foster father. He gave me his time. He gave me his love, and he gave me his attention. And then now and then he would give me pocket money to supplement the pocket money that my father gave to me. Out of his meager earning, he was not a wealthy man, he was actually a poor man, but he worked hard and he would earn his small living, and then he would give that a small sum of money to me to help me buy the things that I needed to buy when I was a little kid. My foster father was really my father. Yes, I dare say that he was more of a father to me than my biological father was. Now, what a great privilege it was for me to be adopted by this man. Now, what a great privilege, my dear friends, it is for us to be adopted by the one true living God. Yes, he has become our Father, Heavenly Father, in Christ Jesus. He adopted us to give us everlasting life. He adopted us to forgive us of our sins. He adopted us, and he tells us, you are now my heir. You are now an heir and joint heir with my only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. One day, you are going to rule with him. He adopted us to give us his wonderful graces of hope, of love, of joy, and of peace. He adopted us so that he can pour down his blessings upon us. My dear friends, have you been adopted by him? Yes, if you are not adopted by him, these heavenly blessings will not be yours. How kind and how gracious that this God of ours should be adopting us. You see, we were his enemies. Now, would you adopt the son of your enemy to be your son? Would you do that? Then we were lepers spiritually. We were diseased with sin. Now, would you go to the leprosium and adopt a child suffering from leprosy to be your son? Would you do that? My dear friends, the Lord did far, far more than that. Yes, I'm sure anybody who wants to adopt a son would want to make sure that the child is physically healthy and that there is prospect of that child becoming clever and intelligent. Yes. That's the kind of a thinking people would have if they wanted to adopt a child. But friends, God adopted us in spite of our terrible disease condition. He adopted us in spite of our wretched, sinful condition. How? How did he do that? Verse 5 tells us, by Christ Jesus, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. By Christ Jesus, Christ died for us, gave his all for us, shed his precious blood for us, my dear friends, so that we could be adopted. My question again to all of us is this: have you been adopted by God yet to be a child of God? You can be adopted. You can be a child of God this morning, right away, if you are not one. Because the word of God says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Receive him. Yes, and straight away you will become a child of God. Now, when did he choose us? Verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose us even from before the foundation of the world. He chose us from eternity past. Let us understand, my dear friends, that his purpose is eternal. In other words, God always knew his purpose. There was never a time when he never knew his purpose, because God is all-knowing, so he must always be knowing his purpose. Yes. And from eternity past, my dear friends, he chose us. He chose us not because he saw goodness in us, not because he saw any potential in us to repent from sins. He chose us not because he saw that we are going to be good. No, my dear friends, he chose us to make us good. Not because we are good, then he chose us. He chose us to make us good. Now, this truth is important for us to understand. If we don't appreciate this truth, we may think that, we have the ability to be good. We have to have the ability to save ourselves. We have the ability to present ourselves to be good before the one true living God to be chosen. No, my dear friends, he chose us in spite of our wickedness. He chose us to make us good. No. And why did he choose us? Why did God choose us? The answer is given to us in verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That's it. That's God's answer. He chose us according to the good pleasure of his will. Now some may argue, if he predestinated me to be saved, then I really don't have a choice. As we said last week, we talked something about it last week, then if he chose us, that he chose us to be saved, then it is not my responsibility to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not my responsibility to repent from my sins. If he chose me, then I'll be saved. But friends, the truth is, he predestinated us to be saved. And that's true. And the truth is also this. We must make a choice. We must make a decision to receive Christ. That's the other truth. Now, this teaching is clearly given to us in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have to make a choice. Yes, the offer of salvation is given to all. To the whosoever, and if the whosoever is willing to repent and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that whosoever will be saved. Now, can we understand these two truths operating alongside one another? God predestinated us to be saved. And then the other truth is we must make a decision to receive Christ, to commit our lives unto the Lord. That's the other truth. Can we understand these two truths running alongside one another? Of course we can't understand. But if we do not understand, it does not mean that this truth is untrue. No, my dear friends, this truth is absolutely true, even if we do not understand. Because there are so many things in life that we really do not understand, and yet they are true. Now, do you want to know whether you have been predestinated to be saved or not? Now, for you to know whether you have been predestinated to be saved or not, is to just take this step. Come and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you would know that you have been predestinated to be saved. Yes, if you come. Last week I gave you this illustration, I'll mention it again. You come to the door of salvation, and you see these words on the door of salvation. Whosoever will may enter in. If you will, you choose to enter in, you may enter in. So you make the choice. You decide to go in through the door of salvation. And then the door is shut behind you. You look back, and you see these words on the door, at the back of the door. Chosen even from before the foundation of the world to be saved in Christ Jesus. That's what you see behind the door. Two truths on the same door. They are just on two different sides of the door. So, my dear friends, this morning, if you are serious about wanting to know whether you have been predestinated to be saved or not, come, take this step. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you take that step and you receive Christ as your Savior, then you know that you have been predestinated to be saved. Now thank God for these two beautiful words. In Christ, beautiful words. When you look at Christ, what do you see? I trust, my dear friends, that you do not just see him as a good man, a good teacher. I trust that you do not see him just as only as a prophet. But I trust that you see God in Christ. God in Christ. God manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ. God manifested in the flesh. Now, God manifests himself in the flesh in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to make himself to make himself such that he can appear before us without our being struck dead. Yes, he appears to us in the flesh, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, thank God, we are in Christ. Yes, we made a decision to come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then we are in Christ. And because we are in Christ, we can stand righteous before the one true living God. Because we have on us the cloak of righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Righteousness which has been credited to us. We didn't earn the righteousness, it was simply credited to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question for you and for me is this: are you in Christ, my dear friends? And it is only when you are in Christ that his spiritual blessings, abundant blessings, will be upon you. Yes, and top of the list of these spiritual blessings is the fact that we have been predestinated to be saved and to be adopted by him, so that we can become sons and daughters of the one true living God. But we must be in Christ, my dear friends. We must be in Christ to receive these spiritual blessings. And there is nothing good in us that caused him to choose us. Nothing whatsoever, my dear friends. He simply chose us out of his good pleasure. He chose us, yes, to make us good. Not that we were good and then he chose us. No, my dear friends. By his grace, he chose us and he causes us to be good, to be accepted in the Beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear friends, are you in Christ or outside of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, why don't you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today and be in Christ? And once you are in Christ, you know that you have been chosen, that you have been predestinated to be saved from eternity past. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your kindness and your goodness. Thank you for choosing us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you, O Lord God, for placing us in Christ so that we may be able to avail ourselves to the great and abundant blessings that you have in store for us from heaven. Father, we pray that we may treasure all these blessings that we have read about this morning. First of which, Lord, is that we have been predestinated to be saved. And second of which is that we have been chosen to be adopted by you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that it was not because of any goodness in us that we have been chosen, but you simply chose us out of your good pleasure. Teach us to be very grateful to you for your choice of us. Help us, O Lord God, to do all things well to glorify your holy name in gratitude to what you have done for us. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.